you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
But before we get into the show, if you like the SDR show and you want to have amazing sex, we want to tell you about a popular sexual enhancer, the Promescent Delay Spray, that's been used by over a million men and is clinically proven to help you last longer in bed. So it takes the edge off, it lowers the sensitivity, so you don't have to worry about finishing too soon. Just better sex guaranteed, no pesky subscription required. It's easy to use, it helps you last longer, and it gives you more confidence. What more could you ask for? So just go to Promescent.com. That's Promescent.com. There is not even a promo code. It don't matter. You have a 60-day money-back guarantee. You could feel confident. You can know you last longer. You want to have a little more excitement, look and feel more manly. You go to Promescent.com. That's what you should do, and do it now.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? It is Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. On this episode, it is Carrot Top. And I think I need to address this, is that we pre-taped this a couple weeks ago, right before Norm Macdonald passed. So we bring up a story, a very famous clip of Carrot Top that Norm Macdonald kind of made a joke about him, and we kind of bring it up. But we don't mention Norm Macdonald being dead, so don't think we're weird. It's just that he hadn't died yet when we recorded that episode. Usually the Zooms get recorded at odd times, and that one was about a week before he passed. But it is a fun episode. He's a very cool dude. James Madden steps in. And remember, if you were a fan of Carrot Top, you could have heard this episode 5 days earlier at GasDigitalNetwork.com. You use the code SDR, you get 20% off, a 7-day free trial, access to 21 shows. We just mentioned we're working on a new show with Zach Wilde, the guitar god himself. So just use that code SDR, or what I say all the time, just listen anywhere you want to listen. That's all that matters to me. Just spread the word, spread the love of the SDR show. So here it is right now, the Carrot Top episode of the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is the hit show. Show me the tit show.
It is the SDR show, sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton. Back with me once again, comedian James Madden. How are you, sir?
Buddy, I'm doing great. I've never been happier in my life. Fresh shave for Carrot Top. I wanted to impress him.
I just shaved myself as well. I just shaved myself. Shannon in the producer position, barking orders before we started recording, which I always like. And at the top of the show, just really quickly, thanks to Buck Cherry's Josh Todd. Buck Cherry shared the last interview, which is really cool. And that just reminds me to leave a review on our website or on iTunes or whatever. Let's get into it right now. Our guest this week, we were all very excited to talk to this man. God damn it. Let's say this. Does hundreds of shows a year. I think it's 4 decades in comedy, basically, and been at the Luxor since 2005. Just recently extended to 2025, which is just ridiculous. A goddamn icon in the comedy industry. It is Carrot Top. How are you, sir?
All right. Hey, I shave, too. We'll keep the shave thing going.
So yours is a little more like Carrot Top's evil brother shave that you got going on right now.
This is very true.
It makes you look a little sinister.
Yes, it is.
Do you feel better that way?
I have one joke in the show I have to keep it for. I do a thing about they call me a woman a lot. I say, excuse me, ma'am. And I usually turn around. And I said, the lady with the red hair and the black mustache is fucking weird.
You know, it's funny. I used to have crazy long hair. And I had a car, it would drive with the window down, and the hair would blow. And very often, guys would pull up and start beeping, and then they turn and see me, and they'd pull off because they were pissed off. Yeah.
There wasn't one that went, fuck it, I'll take him.
I mean, I'd do it if it was a good-looking enough guy. Why not, right? So here's an interesting stat that I looked into, is that you are such an icon that you've been in, I think it's like 2 dozen movies or something like that, but in almost every movie, you play yourself, which I think is crazy. That shows you how much you walk on screen, people are like, oh, that's Carrot Top. Oh, we lost him. He's gone.
No, right here.
Oh, there you go. You're back.
So that's a call.
Do you ever get approached to do movies outside of can you put it on like do not disturb? That's just gonna keep happening.
I hope it won't do that. I don't know how to do that, but I think it's stopped.
Let's hope. Do you get approached to do movies? Not as you, or is it always as you?
Well, I was approached. Speaking of movies,
That's gonna be a problem. You're a popular man.
I don't know if it's the same guy. You'd think that if you hung up on three times, that means I either don't want to talk to
Ralph,
you.
Ralph, it's probably Francis Ford Coppola asking him to play Sonny in The Godfather Part 4. Well, there it is. We're getting what we want.
It's similar. So I was asked to do a part in Batman. So I met the producer, and he brought me his office all the way to the office meeting. And he said, he didn't have to read for the movie. He says, you're in the movie. You're in Batman. So I said, really? He goes, yeah, you're going to play this crazy villain, but we want you to stay like you, but cut out of the movie. So,
Which Batman was it?
It was one that Jim Carrey was in.
Oh, so we're talking a while ago. Batman. Okay, I thought you meant the new one with Robert Pattinson.
No. It was back in whenever Jim Carrey was there.
What do you think, Ralph? The Mad Hatter? I think he came in to play the Mad Hatter.
That's a good one. But what do you know? Who can you tell us who it was that you were playing?
No, I was playing a bad guy on a motorcycle. That's it.
Oh, just a bad guy on a motorcycle.
Villain. He's you bet. I said, I'll take it. Let's do it.
The clip I saw recently when doing my research that I really enjoyed, I don't even know if it ever came out, was you and Tom Green in a fist fight with the Trailer Park Boys, which was so cool.
Here's the funny part. I go all the way to Canada to film this, and the script said Tom Arnold. So I know Tom Arnold. So I'm thinking the whole time, and I'm practicing my lines. Tom Arnold's going to be the guy. Get off the plane. And so we're just waiting on Tom. And I said, okay. So we're sitting there. All of a sudden, Tom Green comes walking up. I said, hey, we never met. Hey, Tom. And he goes, yes, it's going to be exciting to be in the movie with you. I said, oh, you're in the movie too? He says, I'm Tom. And I'm like, no, Tom Arnold's supposed to be in the movie. He goes, yeah. So I said, I'm not doing the movie. I'm not doing it. So I walked back to the plane like I wasn't going to do the movie. Tom Green was looking at me like, are you really not going to do the film because I'm in? I'm like, yeah. I want to do it with Tom Arnold. I didn't want to do it with Tom Green.
You know, by the way, we had Tom Arnold on the show as well. I'm just going to keep dropping past guests on the show to make it seem more valid. A couple of things. One, I read that you just got an award from your old UNLV. You got a fine arts award in April. Is that right?
I did, yeah. How about that? That's the end of the world. And that Carrot Top gets a fine arts degree or award.
What is the criteria to win a fine arts degree from UNLV as an honorary award?
I never asked. I was like, oh, cool. In fact, I was afraid to ask because they might say, oh, wait, you didn't meet the criteria. I never asked. I'm assuming it's longevity. So I've been in this, I've been here for 30 years. So I think they're probably like, let them be in.
That's pretty great. I want to get into that. So what I heard was this, that go back to your, I think, college days. You were a swimmer. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you still shave your body completely?
Yeah.
Except for the facial hair and the head, right?
This is the one thing I have,
All right, and then at some point, this is fascinating to me.
I have people shave me. Yeah.
Oh, that I wish I would pay money for that. I would definitely pay money for that.
You gotta pay Shannon more, man.
Shannon, how much to shave me? Seriously.
Everything.
Totally, head to toe. You got to shave everything. How much would I have to pay you?
Including the gooch?
The gooch, every ounce of me.
Oh, my goodness.
15K.
15,000?
Oh, wow.
That's a very specific number. I think maybe I could afford that. If I start putting in the fund now.
Starting to go fund it on SDR, right now.
That'd be great. Okay, so I was saying this, that you actually came up with the name Carrot Top before you even were in comedy. You just saw it as a branding play.
And absolutely, indeed. Speaking of the Rolling Stones right here.
Right.
That was how I thought of the idea of branding. I was a marketing major, and I knew my name, Scott Thompson, wasn't funny. And I said, I need like a brand, like the Rolling Stones. I need like an image. And that's what I went off of, the tongue kind of thing. So I thought, oh, Carrot Top. So that's it. And then I drew a logo all before I had an act.
Did you know it was going to be comedy, or you didn't even know what it was going
to
be?
No, it's comedy. I wanted to be a comedian when I was a little kid. So I said, Carrot Top, that's it. Carrot Top comedy. So I made the logo, and my roommates were like, oh, cool, what's that? They thought it was a project for my class, and I said, logo, that's cool. Carrot Top, what is that? I go, it's me. What's it for? And I said, when I become a comedian, I've got the logo. The hard part's done. I got the logo. Now I've got to find it.
Yeah, I don't need to do anything else. I got the easy part, the logo. The logo's done. Everything else should be easy.
Yeah, so I thought.
And obviously inspired, I would imagine you're a few years older than me, but not by many. But looking at a lot of the merch I've seen of you over the years, 80s, 70s and 80s rock inspired a lot of your designs and stuff. Because even one of your Carrot Top logos is the Motley Crue logo, yeah, but it says Carrot Top. So obviously, and that your shows, if ever anyone's going to a Carrot Top show, it's an over-the-top, loud, louder-than-life experience, very much synonymous with 80s rock, correct?
Very much so. In fact, the whole show is kind of based on, anyone from the 80s would enjoy the show. Lots of music, lots of stuff from that era, from Aerosmith and the Stones and Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I saw a picture. I don't know if, Shannon, if you have it handy, but I sent the picture, Shannon, on your Instagram. Meanwhile, your dog makes a lot of appearances on your Instagram, and apparently he hates P.F. Chang's. That's what I saw recently.
Oh, that was great. I think he wouldn't eat it.
Yeah. But there's a picture of you and Gene Simmons, and it looks like, and maybe it's just the angle. By the way, I'm going to keep name dropping. Gene's done this show. Looks like he has herpes on his tongue. Shannon, do you have it handy?
Everyone says that. It was the angle. His tongue was so long that it went out, but the tip actually goes down. That's it. But it does look like he has herpes on his tongue.
Let's see. Yeah. She's going to pull it up right now. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. Eyes like, oh, that is herpes.
Yeah. Oh, Baba. Oh, no.
Yeah, it does appear to be herpes, but it's not. Not. I made out with him that night. It was not herpes.
Oh my God. That's like that scene in Spinal Tap. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, definitely. I thought for sure. I zoomed in on him. Like, that's fucking herpes. But Shannon was like, no, it's his tongue is lift over or whatever. All right. So, this, just again, going down Carrot Top memory lane. At one point, you broke the record for the most college gigs ever booked. I don't know if it's still in your in your pocket.
Harry Chapin.
Harry Chapin, you beat out, right? And the story I like was that it's when you early on trying to come up with comedy bits, you took a sign, a neighborhood crime watch sign, when you were trying to struggle for more relevant jokes that wouldn't work in colleges, and that's how the whole prop comedy started. Is that right?
Is
that
exactly true? Yep.
Was like in an aha moment, like this makes sense to me?
I saw the sign for a bit there, and I said, I'm going to steal that. One, just to steal it, just to have a neighborhood crime watch sign in my dorm. So I stole the sign, and then there's a street sign down the way in Boca Raton, and right through the center of town, and it was called Butts Road. So I said, now I got to steal Butts Road. So my first joke on stage was, hey, I was driving down Butts Road where all the assholes live, and it killed. And then I did the crime watch sign, and I had all these signs. I stole about five or six signs, and that's how the prop got into the show.
And now, over the years,
it
your
all
prop
started with that one.
It all started with that one joke, sign. Right? And I think I read somewhere that a woman that was auditioning, you said you should do more of that, and that's how that.
Yeah, she was the one that ran the club, actually, Colleen McGar. She's still doing comedy clubs. Said you're funny, but you gotta do more of that. It's great. I love that. So I said okay. So she's
Colleen's
the one to
blame
for prop comedy.
Are there props in your act? Or I know you do like a thing now where it's like classics, right? But is there anything you've had for like the longest, like the one that's like, you know, Carrot Top royalty props that have been around for 20 years?
Yeah, there is one that I thought was very clever. George Carlin, actually, of all people, my hero. Used to tell me, that's a funny joke, kid. It was this paper cups and string telephone.
Uh-huh.
And I said, the paper cups and string telephone. They got to make a new version for kids of today. And so this is the new version. So I'd have a second cup that came out for call waiting. I said, hey, what are you doing? I got to call you back on the call. Another cup would come out. And I go, hello, I got to call you back. And then three cups would come out and be conference calling. And then a clear cup for caller ID. I know it's you. I can see you. Pick up. So that was probably... That's probably been the show for 30 years. Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. And it, you can always say it was...
And a 7-Eleven name tag. It was a name tag that was really long. It's been a joke forever.
Those, if endorsed by George Carlin, it's hard to argue
that's
that.
That's a funny joke, kid. Clever.
And that leads me nicely to another one of your big advocates is Jay Leno. You did that show maybe more than any other comedy. You did it 30-something times.
Yeah.
That's got to be up there with more than anybody, I would think. I don't know for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know about modern time. Back in the day, those guys, you know, I'm sure like Rickles and all those guys probably had a lot of those too. But
yeah, but I'd say in Jay Leno's tenure,
Jay
I would
Leno's
imagine.
Tenure, probably I might be the one that's the most.
And you did his last episode.
He was just so nice to me. I did his last episode, yeah.
That's great. I mean, it's so cool. How did that?
I wanted to sing to him like Bette Midler did to Johnny, but they didn't go for it.
He wouldn't let you. Did you pitch that?
Yeah.
Oh, why would he not let you do that?
I think it might be riffing off there.
What would you have sang?
I probably would have sang. I don't know. Yeah. I could have done the same song. I mean, just really, you know, committed.
What was this? It was Wind Beneath My Wings. Is that what you did?
Wind Beneath. Yeah. You are the wind beneath my wings. Do you ever know that you're my hero?
And then she did one more for the road.
And I'd have a little skirt with my shaved legs. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Great.
That upsets me now very much. That it's just weird that he wouldn't let you do that. And also, I read over the years, they always let you do whatever you want. But one time, Jay told you couldn't do a joke.
Yes, and this and one time, he'd say, I said, they said I can't do it. He goes, I just did it. They might though, right? So this one time, I'm rehearsing, and it's a great joke. It was a map of the United States, and it was right when gay marriage became legal in like 4 states. So I held up the big map. I said, hey, gay marriage is legal now in 4 states. Here's a map to make it easier to show you where gay marriage is legal. And they had these little penises on springs, right? And I rehearsed, and of course it killed. And then the lady came over and says, standards and practices, Scott, you can't do penises on TV. And I said, oh, but it's a great joke. It was like so current, right? I said, if I rethink it, can I? She says, what do you mean? I said, I come up with a second idea with no penis. She said, yeah. So I went down to the guys and I said, can you make me 4 8x10s of Ryan Seacrest? And I'll put Ryan Seacrest's head in replacement of the penises. Fucking kill. I mean, it was like even better killed. Like what? And they came out and they go, oh my God. And Jay comes all the way down from his office. You can't know. Can I ask you a favor? I said, what? He says, please don't do that joke. And I said, why? Ryan's a friend. I said, well, I know. Ryan's a friend of mine. It's a joke. He goes, yeah. I said, you make fun of everyone. It was almost like he was with the mafia or something. He's like, no, you can't make fun of Ryan Seacrest. I'm like, you make fun of him all the time.
That's so weird.
I was reluctant for that. Yeah, the only time I was kind of shocked because it wasn't a joke that was inappropriate. It was just his friend.
But did that map then make it into your act subsequently or no?
Oh yeah. It killed every night.
That's great. The only other time I heard that someone was pissed off, because you do make fun of people a lot in your act, but Mike Tyson was not happy with the ear joke.
Yeah, he was.
That's pretty crazy. Did you at all feel fearful that maybe he would get angry or he just was?
No, I figured I'd never meet him. And then I met him and he punched me right here. It still hurts.
He goes,
what? You think that's funny? It was a great prop too. It's a boxing headgear with rubber ears, so his opponent would have to go to bite. So again, that was a killer joke. And then he saw me at an award show. I was sitting next to Dennis Hopper. And Dennis Hopper says, hey, you know Mike? And I said, Mike too.
Oh, man.
Tyson, hey, get Mikey. And I look over and see Mike Tyson walking towards me. I said, fuck. So he comes over and he's like, you know Carrot Top? He's like, yeah, Carrot Top, I'm going to punch him. And I thought he was kidding. And he says, you think that joke funny with the ears? And I said, oh, yes, it's a joke. It's my job. Well, it's not funny. I said, I'm just fucking around. He gave me like a pretty good love hit. And I was like,
a little more than like a little more, enough to know that he was being a little angry.
Yeah, a little more.
Wow.
And I said, look at Dennis. I said, fuck, that hurt. And then he says, I'm just messing. And he hit me again, a little lighter. But I'm like, okay, we're done.
We get the point here at this point, right? Yeah.
All right, before we do anything else, I always feel like an idiot when I talk about these guys because I am a goofball. I don't know anything about cars. But if you are an auto mechanic or a do-it-yourself car guy, let me tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part needed you could ever think of. It's all there at the best possible prices. It is at rockauto.com. They've been in business for 20 years and then some, and they have anything you're looking for, whether it's some weird specific part for an older car or something brand new. They have it all at rockauto.com. No more do you go track down someone at a store. They don't know what you're talking about. They go to the stock room. They come back 20 minutes later. They bring you the wrong thing. You don't need to deal with any of that. Just go to rockauto.com. Maybe you're just a car guy that wants to browse. Go ahead and do that at rockauto.com. They have the best pricing. You know how I know? They don't even give you a promo code. They don't care. They know you're not going to get better pricing anywhere. You just go to rockauto.com. But if you do place an order, let them know that you heard about them on the SDR show. Thank you, rockauto.com. We love the sponsors that support our show, so feel free to go support them. Thank you, rockauto.com. Let's get back into it.
I know. The thing that fascinated me, obviously, you're known predominantly as a prop comic, and you come up with some creative ideas. The one I saw recently, I'm like, well, that actually makes sense, was glasses with a mask built in. I'm like, well, that actually makes sense, right? And then you said over the years, dozens of your joke props have been turned into actual products.
Absolutely. It's been probably
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I know. And what crazy part about it is I was too young and stupid to know that I could have probably made those myself and be a billionaire.
Wow.
There was one that was, well, one of the easy ones, the toilet paper, right? You take a roll of toilet paper. Some people like it over the roll and some people like it under the roll. So I invented the toilet paper flipper and literally just flips. So if you, it goes on a hinge, it locks in. You want to play then that way.
Makes sense. And now, so, and it's in, it's out there.
Oh, yeah. And I used to do it for 20 years of my show. In fact, people, crowds used to always go, oh, I go, right? Not funny, just what? And then I had a baseball bat when the replacement players were playing and they sucked. So I had a baseball bat. When you swing it, it'd make a crack noise going like that. You go, Whammo has a bat now for when you swing it, it makes a crack noise.
Is there any way, like, for instance, the glasses mask thing, someone's going to come out with that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's already attached, and that's a good idea, isn't it?
Yeah. Can
that's
you?
That's like the first one I thought of, because I have to start wearing glasses now. So I'm like, what the fuck? And it gets caught in your goddamn glasses, and I can do the commercial. You ever have that with a penguin? And it gets on there, and you're just trying to get shit off, and that's why I embedded it.
Right. I mean, why would you not?
We'll throw it on my pillow.
Why would you not, though? I mean, you're a wealthy guy. You,
I'm gonna make
why
that,
not
I'm gonna hang up with you right now and make that?
I mean, why wouldn't you? That's I'm serious question. Why would you not just do that?
Yeah, I'm gonna.
You have no desire.
I just thought of a helmet for Trevor Lawrence.
Okay,
you know who that is, the quarterback.
James
will
know
not
more.
Know it.
I know nothing
I know.
About sports, but
you
James
can talk
will know.
To me about that.
Whenever he's someone the, mentions the, a name and the, I don't know the, it, I assume it's sports.
He's like Jennifer Lawrence, like football.
Good
like
head
like
of
Jennifer
hair.
Lawrence. Yeah, he has really beautiful hair, handsome guy. So I was going to make a helmet for him that's like one of those old-fashioned lady helmet hair dryers.
It's great.
The logo on it. It has all the holes in it. It has the logo. That's his helmet. Come on.
Why oh. not?
How crazy is this, though? Comics are always scared of their jokes being stolen by other comics. He has to worry about getting stolen by fucking brands. Are you out of
right.
your goddamn mind?
It's a double
that's
whammy.
Right.
It's a double
oh my
whammy.
God.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not worried about fucking Bob Zaney taking my act. I'm worried about...
Ron Popeil stealing yeah. your shit.
Ron Popeil stealing the idea. I'm really nervous about Ron Popeil.
Did you ever go to a gig somewhere and your props didn't show up? I imagine that had to happen at least once.
Yeah, sure. There was a guy in the what's his name on the Tonight Show one time giving me grief about it. One of my all-time heroes in comedy and acting, defending your Albert Brooks. So Al Brooks, who I loved, never met him. He was on the Tonight Show saying, yeah, comedy. And people like Carrot Top. What happens if American Airlines loses their luggage? So I run into him at believe it or not, of all things, Gary Shandling's funeral. And
oh, boy.
I said, hey, man. And he's like, oh, hey, Carrot Top. And I said, what you got a beef with me? He says, oh, this is great. Carrot Top has a beef with me. I gotta get some people to see this. I go, no, just between you and me. So I told him that. I said, what is that? He said, I was just having fun. I said, but it's true. And this is my, ever since he's done that joke, I used exactly this band again. I would say, well, if the Rolling Stones shit was lost, they wouldn't probably have a show. They need their guitars. They need their amps. So that's what would happen. Yeah. We just don't do the show.
Years ago, I was in Ibiza, where all the cool kids go. And one of the DJs showed up to play his set, and he lost his thumb drive. So he could not perform. He was not.
Oh, yeah.
His set was canceled.
Wow.
Yeah, but losing Albert that. Brooks used to use props. That's what we're bearing the lead here. He used to go on the goddamn Johnny Carson show with speaking spells
and spinning plates and shit. Yes, yeah. I know.
That's
I'm getting the fuck out of here. I can't. You're getting my blood cooking now, Carrot Top. The Italian is cooking over this shit because of the Albert
it's
Brooks.
Also
I love him
upsetting
because
I've always liked Albert Brooks. You know, I thought he was fucking
well,
pretty
he was,
fun.
No, after that, he was very nice. We had a really good time, and we spoke and we laughed at the funeral.
Would you ever welcome the challenge and just go do a set sans props?
Yeah, absolutely. But my live show right now, I can do about 30 minutes in the show without touching a prop. So it's a lot of stand-up that I've been working on.
That's great. And now
yeah,
a lot
I had
of your
that idea today. I'm sorry, I had that idea to get to present to Jay before the show was over, is I was going to come out with my prop trunk and not open it and just stand there and tell jokes.
Or open it and show that it's empty and then sit down and start telling jokes.
Yeah,
that's pretty wild. Do you, as I was saying before, is that I saw that you, which is a nice thing, you do a lot of work with like kids and you worked with the Ronald McDonald House. You do a lot of things for charity. Did you pick the Ronald McDonald House specifically because he also has red hair, or was there another reason why?
No, there wasn't that reason. The Ronald McDonald House is near my house in Orlando. Oh. And it was one of them. They're all over the country. There's one near my house in Orlando, and I went to a function there, and it moved me so much that I thought, I'm going to get involved with the house. But the irony is, yes, we do look a lot similar.
Exactly.
Now, the reason why I grew the mustache. So
to make it, to separate yourself?
Yes.
You're like the evil Ronald McDonald? That's fine.
Yes.
I would imagine, because some of your props are somewhat complicated to create.
Oh, yeah.
Did you learn like some engineering and basic building shit over the years, and you're much better at it now that you look at some old things like, oh my God, how did I build it that way and rebuild it or ever things like that?
I'm actually, my dad was an engineer at NASA, so I think I knew got that. a little bit of his brain. But most of the time, believe it or not, I come up with these things that are too intricate for me to make. So I have a guy here that's brilliant. I was like, I need this motor to spin and a NASCAR hat with these cars going around my head. And he'll say, okay, so I'll get on that.
Oh, that's good. So now I have a team of prop creators.
Yes. The best one ever was, I never think I'd make it, but I was doing some show, I forget. It was when that senator that was busted in the bathroom for tapping his foot trying to get sex.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So I thought, oh, my God, I got an idea. So I get a briefcase, right, and have a leg of the dress shoe come out of it, right, come all the way down and tap and come back up. And my guy's like, I can do that, sir. And I still watch the clip. I was on the Tonight Show or on Regis or something. But it's so great. You see me go, I made the briefcase for Senator What's-His-Face. And he goes, yeah. And you hit the other button. Put the dip back up. Kill.
I imagine because a lot of them are topical. A lot of your the prop things are very, like, of the moment. Some of them may last for a very, very long time. But some of them might be for a month or two, and you have to retire.
That's one like that. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of those. Like the Trevor Lawrence, that's very topical. People probably will get that, especially if a picture of him up, then people will get it.
Right.
I just got stung by a scorpion last week, so I'm going to make clear sneakers.
Wait a minute. Say you literally in your shoe?
In my shoe. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's like one of my biggest fears in life.
That's some Vegas shit.
I know. I was getting ready, just like now. I'm going to go for my run. I go every morning. So I get up, put my shoes on, get my dog some water, walk. I'm like, God, what's not my toe? It didn't feel like a sting though. It just felt like there's a splinter in there. So anyway, I checked it three times. I look in my sock. I'm like, there's nothing in there. I go to put my shoe on the fourth time, and I see the little guy crawling out of my shoe. And I went, that's what it is. And then I thought, can I die from this? I don't know.
I would think you could. Did you look it up?
If you I called every doctor. I called Dr. Phil first and asked him.
No help.
Yeah. If what I should do. And he says, just walk it off, son. Okay.
Can I ask you a question? Why would you prime a fake mustache when you have a mustache?
I already have a mustache.
Dr. Phil's is different, right?
Yeah, but still.
It's a little bigger.
You could have done one finger above your existing one to the right there.
Yeah, that's better. I'll tell you what. Find your inner self, son.
How can I just self-serving at this point? Because I and my other co-host hates that I bring this up, and so does Shannon. But you brought it up, so you run a lot.
Yeah.
How far do you run? First of all, like roughly when you do runs.
5 miles.
And what's your pace? Just out of curiosity.
That is always a good question because I don't even know. People always ask me. It's probably 7 or 8.
God damn it, that's good. But you're also a lot smaller than me, so it's not fair.
I weigh like 145 pounds.
Right, and I think you're 5'8 or 5'9, am I right?
I'm about 5, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm 6'5, so it's a different thing. You know,
you don't look 6'5. Oh, you're sitting.
No. Yeah, well, I'm sitting. That's what that'll tend to happen, by the way.
I'm not doing
it. All right, so now this part fascinates me. In the early 2000s, you got huge. We all know you got fucking giant, a la Shannon was very happy about you at that point. You were enormous, right? First question would be, what was the catalyst? You said at one point that because you were bored, but I got to believe it's more than that.
Well, no, I think I was like every guy, you know, one time says, oh, let's see if I, you know, how big. In a sense it was, because I'm that's when I got my permanent residency here.
Right.
So I wasn't really traveling as much. I was just here in Vegas. So I really did have nothing to do. You wait around, you don't have to go anywhere. So I said, I'm going to spend the extra time, you know, where I always worked out, but I had a buddy that was like, it was work out with me kind of thing. And he's huge. And so I'd work out with that. Like now I work out for 45 minutes. Back then we do like 3-hour workouts. We'd eat like every kind of carb and chicken and between workouts and these big and drinks. We had so much. I was like, yeah. And then one day, literally, I went to my warehouse and a picture. I was like, what the F? Do I look like that? And he said, yeah.
Yes, you do.
And I don't now. I know. I'm like 100, I'm 145. I'm like, in fact, everyone now says, oh my God, are you okay? Are you sick?
Do you find, because I mean, very few people I know that went from huge to now just being in shape. Do you find yourself more energetic now, less energetic now?
Way more.
Really?
Way
okay.
More, yeah. It's just everything about it. The lifestyle, you know, you don't want people to see when the first day they think is, hey, you must work out, go to the gym. So you want to, I kind of lost my charm, my carrot top, you know. So, and on stage, you know, you're going to wear like a tent.
Well, that was my next question, because I sorry to cut you off there, but like you hear all the time, it's hard for a big muscular guy to be funny. Did you think it affected the stage show?
Well, I don't think it did, because I still had good shows back when I did that. But I for me personally, I just think it didn't fit the persona of what my character was. My character was skinny, goofy, lanky guy.
Right.
So it plays better.
I imagine, but it was right when you started, but it had to take a year or so to get that big, I imagine, from...
It's probably about that.
Jesus. And how long did you keep it going?
Not long. I was like, eh. And then I went from that to right to literally, like I have pictures of me when my girlfriend went to Europe and she just showed me the other day, look how skinny you were.
So. Wow, that's crazy.
All right, before we go any further, you know this sponsor. Why? Because they have been part of this show for a very long time. We're talking about the Chewables from Blue Chew, bluechew.com. It's an online prescription service. No doctor visits needed. No awkward conversations and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Just ships directly to your door. In a discreet package, it is Blue Chew Chewables, which is the unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in a chewable form at a fraction of the cost. And you know all the guys at the Gas Digital Network all talk about how much they love Blue Chew. Just a great experience. Their chewables do what they do, and they do it well. So if you go to bluechew.com, you use the code SDR, you're going to get a free first order. You're just going to pay that $5 shipping. Once again, it's bluechew.com. Use the code SDR. You're going to get a free first order and just pay the $5 shipping. The Blue Chew Chewable achieves harder, stronger erections and combats all forms of erectile dysfunction. Chew it and do it at bluechew.com. All right, let's get back into it.
All right, so now one thing I heard is that when originally you're so synonymous with Vegas, you do, I think it's two, normally pretend the world is normal. You do 200 shows or so a year in Vegas. You've been in Luxor since 2005, extended to 2025. My question is it right that when you first were offered Vegas, you turned it down?
Yes.
What would made you say, okay, this is right for me?
I don't know. I just bit the bullet. I was doing a which they call now a residency. The residency is what I do when you're there all the time. They call these a weekend. Now, hey, Aerosmith's doing a residency. No, it's 2 days. So I used to do like a week, like 6 weeks a year spread out. So I go to Chicago and da-da-da, come back to Vegas. You go to Florida, go here and come back to Vegas for a week. It's in and out. So, and it was at the MGM Grand at the time. And I just hated Vegas. And it's like, oh, we're going to Vegas. All right, suck. It was just something about, you know, Vegas is just different than, you know, you go to Omaha, there's Carrot Top fans wearing your shirts. They're all going nuts. You go to Vegas, it's like people have no, they're just going to pick your show because they have nothing else to pick.
Right.
So maybe more now because they know who I am. So they probably become more off fans. But so then David Copperfield, I do this in the act actually. David Copperfield came in and wanted to take over the room full-time. And that's when I went to the newspaper. I said, well, why did you leave the MGM Grand? And I said, because David Copperfield made me disappear. And so then he calls me and says, that's not true. And I'm like, dude, it's a joke. You're a magician. So I do that in the show every night. I go, dinkle, dinkle, dink. And then I end up at the Luxor. So they asked me to to do the Luxor. And I said, no, I don't want to do it. The president of the hotel called me on the phone. He's like, dude, you know, you're going to be our guy. There's not a show at the Luxor. You'll be the headline banging. Come check it out. And I said, I don't want to do it. He said, well, just come meet me and look at the room and decide. So we came and looked at it. It was a cool room because it was like a theater seating as opposed to tables and booths. Mm-hmm. So it seemed kind of roadshow looking. So I said, you know, okay, that looks good. And it was a nice size. And then I said, I'll tell you what, we'll just do a test for a bit. We'll do like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, how about a year? I said, well, what if I don't like it, you know? So anyway, I signed up for a year. And I lived in the hotel at the time too, which was horrible. Just not the hotel's horrible, just the hotel, living in a hotel, working in a hotel. So, you know, go get a cup of coffee. You get all these fucking lobby down the elevator. So I hated it. And I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. I couldn't find the click. I couldn't get the rhythm. And then my friend said, well, first thing you should do is get a house. Once you move out of the, you know, the strip and be a normal person and get a house. So I did. I got a house and then everything changed completely. I wake up and I feel like I'm in a normal setting.
Right. You have some sense of normalcy before you go be Carrot Top. You could be Scott for a few hours before you go be Carrot Top.
Living down there was just 24 hours of being Carrot Top, which is not fun.
Right. That's pretty wild. And then at one point before the end of the year, I guess you said, okay, I can do this. And now it's going to be 25 years, 20 years.
Now I'm like, please give me another 5 years kind of thing.
Okay. one thing that's completely out of left field, but I feel a kindred spirit to this. I'm off by a couple of years, but you've never gotten a speeding ticket since 1986. Me, it's 1990. That's pretty close.
Yeah. Isn't that crazy? I mean, knock on wood, but people always say, come on. I'm like, no.
Yeah, I'm a very safe driver. I also haven't thrown up since 87. Can anyone beat that?
Wow.
Not even been with you, like sick?
No, I mean, I will avoid anything to throw up. Oh, I would rather be sick.
I throw up six times my whole life.
That's it?
I throw up after every meal. That's how I stay thin.
Well, that makes sense. James, you'd really only throw up six times in your whole life? I don't believe you.
I'm a fucking G is what I'm trying to tell you, bro. I'm a G. I got to say this real quick. Carrot Top, I saw you for half a second back at the MGM. I was waiting tables. I didn't get to see the act. Someone walked out on my tab and I had to chase them down into it. And when you work like in a themed restaurant on the strip, they tell you by any means necessary, get that money. So I shook them down and the guy he was with a work group and he turned me to his boss and she was chill. She's like, yeah, come on in. And she then pays for the whole bill and goes, do you want to stay for the show? I go, I would, but there's this thing called my shift at the fucking Rainforest Cafe. So thanks next time. And I had to leave. But it was the energy before your show was the coolest thing I've ever seen in years of doing comedy.
Yeah, James grew up in Vegas. So James, I mean, Carrot Top was royalty in Vegas, I imagine.
Yes, and I'm a fellow UNLV fucking degree holder. UNLV. Come on, we'll Ralph, get in with it.
We'll have to get you the honorary...
They get you an honorary degree also, right? Why not?
Yeah, I don't know where my actual one is, so that would help. I need a physical copy. I appreciate this even happening.
A lot of the celebrities have been showing up at your shows over the years. Like, we showed Gene Simmons, Nicolas Cage. Are there ones that have shown up that you're like, holy shit, is that blah, blah, blah at my show?
Yeah, Queen.
Wow. Who in Queen?
Roger and Brian.
That is so fucking cool.
And Adam was going to come, but he literally was on his way. He got caught up in something. But I know I've met Adam. Every time I see him, he's like, I'm sorry about missing your show. But Roger and Brian, Roger and I, Taylor, have become real close friends.
Wow.
Which was, I stayed at his, not stayed, I went, wanted me to stay at his house in London. It's like his castle. And I love telling the story. So my girlfriend and I ex-girlfriend at the time, went to London. You know, they would say, Scott, you know, if you come to London, you must stay, right? We're not going to stick, but we'll come. So he says, come have lunch and we'll come see the house. So we come pull up. My girlfriend says, I'm not going to one of your stupid friend's house. I go, it's not a stupid house. It's Roger Taylor.
Jesus
like,
Christ.
No, she doesn't know. I said, it's not going to be. I said, I bet you my career, it'll be a castle. She goes, it's going to be a castle. I said, it'll be something close to it. I mean, we're in Surrey, England. So I said, I want to make a bet. And she's like, sure, I'll make a bet. We're on the phone with his wife. And I said, we're just getting off the exit where she goes, oh, Scott, you're right. Just take a left. You see the big gates. And I got to go to the big gates. And she goes, yeah. And it's an old Tudor, like, castle. come
That's
in.
Great.
It's like a fucking Tudor, like it looked like right out of a movie, right?
Did you at least bet your girlfriend anal or something?
Oh, absolutely. Down there. Oh, no, what's better? Here, this is what she does. We go in, have lunch, everything's beautiful, and Roger says, and she didn't feel well. She's like, I had to go back to the hotel, I don't feel well. And Roger says, you see my studio? And I'm like, and she looks at me like, I know you want to. So I said, can we do that? This is not a joke on my life. I'm writing a book. This is in the book. So we go up the corridor, up these stairs, and there's Queen Awards all over the wall, right? And I said, wow, look at that. That one, there was like one that was like green and gold, and it was just beautiful. I said, fuck, that's awesome. You ever stop and just like look at these? And he goes, no. Let's look at the studio. So we walk in. There's his studio. It's as big as my house. There's drums everywhere. They're all labeled like the Live Aid, Killers Live set, right? They're all different. And my girlfriend says, oh, my God, you must really like drums. I'm like, what the fuck? No, seriously. Like, she knew he was the drummer, right?
But did she? I mean,
she would. But she acted. If she was standing here now, tell me what you said. She said, "I know you must like drums." Now, thank God, Roger's deaf. So he says, "What's that?" I said, "She loves your drums." He goes, "Oh yeah." But I couldn't. The whole way home, like, you fucking just said you like drums. Oh God!
You should think about learning to play the drums. You like them so much.
Yeah, yeah.
Why not?
It's crazy. Oh, and then the one that I pointed at the wall, he gave me that night for my birthday.
Oh, that's so fucking cool! It Jesus Christ!
Showed up at our hotel restaurant, and walked in, and said, "Scott, it's for you." And I was like, "No, I can't take this."
So that leads me to a very I don't want to say tender question, but like an interesting question. I've seen you talk about this in a lot of interviews. For many years, you would say this yourself. So I'm not paraphrasing, but like you called yourself the Nickelback of comedy. You know that. There are times where people would like love to hate Carrot Top, but I feel that there was some point where people just started to actually be like, no, he's actually like an American institution at this fucking point, and people started to embrace you. Did you feel that transition?
Yeah, absolutely.
When did you see that happening?
It's been a few years now.
Right.
I think the last 10 years or maybe more. I mean, it was early on when I had a lot of success. People hate that. And I was right. Like I said, like this, and I had this AT&T commercials that were on every 2 seconds. People were, including me. I'm like, nah. So everywhere I went, like, oh, you're the phone dude. And people get, you know, I'm like, no, I'm not a phone guy. Went to a mall. They were like, what are you doing in town? I said, doing a show. And they go, they's like a phone show? I said, yeah, like a phone show.
Yeah, it's a big, we bring out phones on stage. It's fascinating.
Yeah, I'm gonna teach dialing. So, people didn't know. And then they started to catch on. I think people, you know, is that your cat? Oh,
yeah.
That's a beautiful pussy.
Well, it's the third best pussy on the skull.
Right. Anyway, I stopped saying, the people still, I mean, I watch TV shows. They still will reference me, you know, in Law and Order or one of these shows. And we'll just go, so I'm like, what do you think I am? Carrot Top? And you're like, what the? So, but as far as the hatred and all that, there really wasn't hate.
Not hatred, but
it was a lot of, you know, just like, being a prop comic. I think once people, well, the first thing is seeing the show. I don't think people understand when they see me just do a thing on Regis or something. Mm-hmm. What the show, the live show is like a rock and roll show. It's stand up, it's music, it's everything. Right. So that's usually when, like, even David Spade would came and said, what the fuck, dude, that's like a show. I'm like, yeah. He's like, I just stand there for 20 minutes. I'm like, well, you got to get that.
I mean, at some point, it's also like, as we said, you know, like people like, you said George Carlin. I know that you told the story where Jack Nicholson was told you he's a big fan. At some point, it just wanted to say, well, it doesn't, like, people love to shit on Nickelback, but Nickelback is one of the few bands that sold 10 million records.
Well,
you know, like, so.
That's, I think, how the reference came into play. I said, I feel like sometimes the Nickelback of a comedy of Nickelback, what do you call it? Is because of that. I went to a Nickelback show and it was fucking packed.
Right.
And they did like 3 hours and the crowd was going crazy. And then I told people, hey, where'd you go if you saw Nickelback? They're like, fucking Nickelback. What, did they pay you to go to that? I said, it was packed. Everyone had a great time.
Right. I mean, they sold. That's what always bothers me, because people will cheer for you all the way to the top, and then they shit on you once you get up there. There was a reason why that record that went here, they sold 10 million. I think there's only like 8 groups that sold 10 million records from one album, and they're one of them. And it's just crazy that people have to shit on it. You're selling out 200 something shows a year. No other. I don't think there's any other comic that sells as many tickets annually as you do. And yet people love to shit on it. Just it's America. That's what we do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And as long as you do it, you get used to it more. You just kind of take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, and you've been in the same movie franchise as Neil deGrasse Tyson. That alone.
Very true.
Can I just say, I only date girls that like Nickelback. That's it. That's part of the dating profile. If your favorite band ain't Nickelback, you're out. Oh, the Pixies? Fucking snob. Right. That's how I am.
And by the way, I brought this up with someone else that was on the show. I talked to my cousin, and I said, I'm bringing on Carrot Top. And his response was, oh, that guy gets laid a lot from what I remember. Is that you're still single?
I'm hoping he still remembers that. I was in my heyday. I was
quite the cocksmith.
I don't know what comics would be like, dude. I'd go into towns and just, I don't know what it was. It was just props. Maybe they like prop comics. I don't know.
Did you ever bring the prop comedy into the bedroom?
Yeah.
No. I love Ralph. I love him so much.
You're like having sex with Terry Fader and all of a sudden, hi, what's going on? That'd
be fucking awesome. And then last thing before we ask the questions, you read Elton John's biography 3 times during the pandemic. Did you not get enough of it from the first 2 pass-throughs?
I didn't have a chance to get back to a bookstore. It's the only book I had, so I read it 3 times.
Wow. That makes sense. That makes sense. All right, Shannon, we got to ask the first, because we're taking up too much of this man's time.
I'm good.
The first time ever I saw concert did drugs.
All right, the name of the show is Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, the SDR Show. And we ask everybody since the dawn of time their first experience with all 3. We start with rock and roll, and we mean the first show you went to, doesn't have to be rock, but first concert you went to on your own volition, but something we hopefully will know.
Well, see, my own volition, because I was drugged 3 times at the same concert with my father.
Okay, what was that, by the way?
Kenny Rogers.
Oh, that's great. That's a good one.
And then the best part about that is I got to, met him. And I said, do you know the first concert I went to? He says, no. I said, you. He said, guess the second one. He goes, I don't know. I said, you. And I said, you want a third? Let me guess. Me. I said, yeah. And I said, and you have great chicken. And he was like, I thought I was insulting him because he has Kenny Rogers chicken. And I said, no, we went there like every day. We're eating in there one day in literally Charlotte, North Carolina, in this little Kenny Rogers Roasters, not even on the main road. My buddy and I go in, comedian, we go in. We sit down, and we're making jokes with the girl. Like, give me the when to hold the thing, and whatever joke we had about King Rogers. And they're all acting weird. And she like looks back, and it points like, and I look back, and I go, what? And I go, that's like fucking Kenny Rogers, right? So I said to my friend, I sit down, and I said to my friend, that's fucking Kenny Rogers. He goes, that's not Kenny Rogers. Why would he be eating in the fucking? I said, dude, that's Kenny Rogers. And my friend, idiot. He goes, okay, I'm going to, I go, no. He walks over to his table. Excuse me. He said, are you Kenny Rogers? And he looks up, he goes, yes, I am. He goes, can I see your ID? And Kenny Rogers goes, excuse me? He says, I want to see your driver's license. I don't believe you. And Kenny Rogers pulls out his driver's license and shows him. He goes, better, is this enough? You good now? And he's like, yeah, my credit card. He showed him all his IDs. Like, good? And he bought us lunch.
What the fuck was he doing there? Just doing research?
He was doing paperwork, and he was, doing the numbers. And
oh, wow. That's pretty wild. That's so cool.
Yeah. I told him that story. He said, I don't remember that.
And also, speaking of your father, didn't he introduce you to Neil Armstrong? You got to meet him, right? Is that true? That's fucking amazing.
Almost all the astronauts when I was growing up. Yeah, Bob Crippen and Neil Young.
Neil Young? When did Neil Young get into the fighter pilot game?
I meant other Young, sorry.
That's okay. No, that's great.
John Young.
And your brother was a fighter pilot as well, which is obviously that's where they went. They went that path, right? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
All right, so now the first drug you ever did after pot, unless pot's not the first drug you ever did.
Well, I ate acid, and I was on Daytona Beach, and I've never dropped acid. I don't know how you say it. I took acid.
You dropped acid is the right vernacular. Acid.
But if you drop it, then you can't use it. Fuck, I dropped acid. So I did acid, and then I left my friends, and I went to the beach, and I ended up going to Bible school.
What?
I swear to God.
Excuse me?
My friends are like, where are you? And I said, what? This is before there was phones. I had got into a payphone and I called. I said, I just bought Bibles and I'm headed to this class. And they're like, Scott, stay right where you at right now. And they came and got me. What are you doing? I said, no, I'm going to Bible class. Like, no, you're not. Yes, I am. Yeah.
And maybe that's great.
Yeah. I mean, I was definitely like having fun with it. I wasn't like angry. I was going to go to Bible class.
I really enjoyed that.
I probably should have gone.
Yeah, that's it. Probably would have renounced all your sins. All right, now, the first time you had sex.
Oh, God. Like when I peed on a girl, maybe?
Did you? That's fucking great. No,
you don't know. You're like, oh, yeah. You know,
this is so dirty.
And she's going to go, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I tell my friends, and they're like, you didn't. That's not sex. I'm like, what? You don't pee on them. I said, what do you do? It's like, you do other acts.
How old were you?
For the first time I had an orgasm to the pillows. That would have been, oh, God. Well, how old was I then when I peed on her? Oh, about 42, maybe.
That makes sense. That makes sense. And first they had an orgasm.
I was probably like 8 or something.
Eight
when I peed on her. Well, I used to build these forts, and I thought, I'm going to get the girls.
At 8 years old, though? That seems weird. At 8 years old, you're building forts for girls? I didn't like girls for a long time.
You still don't. What are you talking about?
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to fake it for the mainstream. Yes, James.
Mr. Top, was this, you grew up in the great state of Florida, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. None of this should be shocking. What are we doing? An 8-year-old peeing on another 8-year-old in fucking Florida, especially a few decades ago? Why are we acting like fucking Home Alone? Stop
that's
it.
That's part of the entrance exam to middle school, from what I understand, in certain parts of Florida.
Jumping Jack Flash.
God damn it. And now, so a couple of last things. Well, let's do anything. Anything you want to plug before we wrap this all up?
I got to tell you real quickly.
The cocaine. Oh, please do.
Story. So I never done cocaine in my life. My manager and I at the time, we went to do the Tonight Show. And I don't think these people will mind me telling the story. So I hope not.
I doubt it.
The Tonight Show, and Charlie Sheen is the guest. So I sit and go over to Charlie Sheen and I said, hey, what do you guys do? When you, I've been a kid this whole time. What do people do after the show? Because they always make it sound like they're going to go have dinner. They're going to go do something. But, you know, you tape it 4 in the afternoon. So it's a fake, you know, the nighttime. Right. So he says, I'm going to go meet some friends at the Sunset Bar or whatever. Right on the Sunset Strip. You want to join? And I was like, yeah. Shit, yeah. So I go down there to the bar, wait outside the whiskey or whatever it was. And bouncer's there and he's looking. I said, I'm just here to meet Charlie Sheen. He goes, yeah, there you are. I'm like, no, I was just on the Tonight Show. And he's like, yeah, just wouldn't let me in. So I'm just standing there, dude, and waiting for him. Charlie pulls up, BMW, hops out, dude. And the bouncer's like, oh, fuck, right, come on in. So go in. He says, let's go upstairs to the private room. I have them put a TV up there so we can watch the Tonight Show. I said, you want to watch what we just did? He's like, yeah, I want to make sure I didn't F it up. I said, no, you were funny on it. He says, will you watch it with me and critique it? I said, okay. So we're sitting there watching us on TV.
Just the two of you in a room.
And my manager. And I'm saying, see, look, that's a great. He goes, that, that funny? I said, it was Gil. Listen to it. You look great. It's Gil. And he's like, I said, let's just not watch mine of you. I mean, I don't want to watch me. He goes, no, no, fuck that. Will you watch me? I'm going to watch you. Okay. I had a great set. And they kept zooming over to him, like during my laugh, he would laugh. You know. So anyway, I look over, and he's put up some lines of coke, right? And I'm like, fuck. And this is like out of Hollywood. This is Hollywood, not out of Hollywood, but I'm in Hollywood. But it's like, this is like out of a movie, right? He's put these three lines. So I'm looking around, so it's Charlie, with me, and my manager. I'm like, fuck, I think I have to do coke. I've never done coke. I don't even know how to do it. So I said, I guess I'm going to have to do coke. And my manager's like, I'm not, I said, dude, fucking three lines. You got one for each of us.
The math works out. The math checks.
Charlie does his line. I'm like, nervous. Oh, I'm going to go grab the straw. And he goes down and does the second one. I looked at him and said, well, he just did mine. There's yours, Ken. And then he went and did Ken's. So I'm like, we're free. Yeah.
That's great. All right. So he's, you've never done. Night, you've never done coke.
Never done. And then I met Johnny Depp was outside that we went out to the bar. He was standing there. I talked to this guy for 25 minutes, and Charlie's all. He says, "How do you know? How do you know Depp?" And I go, "What? How do you know Charlie?" And I said, "We're just talking." He goes, "That's cool. Depp's cool, right?" And I said, "I don't know who Depp is." He goes, "Johnny Depp. You were just talking to him for 20 minutes." I'm like, "No clue."
That's great.
He looked like a homeless guy. He's talking. He's from Florida. He's like, "Yeah, I'm from Florida too. Yeah, I live down there and they're real quiet to himself." And
that's
probably because I didn't. It's probably because I didn't say, "Holy shit, you're Johnny Depp."
Right.
Would have been a thick.
The that's fact, fucking
I had no
great.
Clue.
What year was all that? I guess that would have been in the '90s or the early 2000s.
Yeah, 90.
That's pretty 90, fucking awesome.
Two, three.
God damn it. Cool story, sir. All right, so at Carrot Top Live is your Instagram. CarrotTop.com, I believe, is your website. You're doing Luxor 200 shows a year. Assuming we're back up, I know you're doing it in the bigger theater with limited seats. Is that still happening or no?
They just moved us out of that big theater. We're back to our normal theater with all seating.
Oh, good. Congratulations. So let's hope that lasts. So that's awesome. Anything else you want to plug before we wrap?
We had some other road dates coming up, but those they should be on my...
They're on your website. I just saw them all. We'll go around the room real quick. James, anything?
Okay, the James Madden.
Get close to your mic, please.
Oh, shit, man. You know, this mic gate been rough. The James Madden, Instagram, Commissioner Comedy Podcast about the etiquette of comedy. Got a new podcast starting with Shuley, formerly The Stern Show, called Thanks for Coming Out, a podcast about bombing. Comedians coming on, talking about bombing, open mic scenes, and their early jokes. And the Check Spot album and special drops in November. It is me doing a check spot. It's me getting asked questions by a drunken audience while the bills are being paid. Fuck yeah, baby. I got him out. I got him out, baby.
Shannon, your plugs, please.
You can follow me on Instagram at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts. We have lots of interesting people, comedians, musicians, reality TV stars, porn stars, etc. Come on and tell their own personal stories about bad dates, street fights they've been in, or experiences with the paranormal.
Okay, now let's do this. We do this at the end of the week about whether or not, don't answer yet, Carrot Top, if you believe in ghosts or not. I'm going to go with no. James? Wow.
Kid's from fucking Florida and he's Carrot Top. Thumbs up. Yes.
Shannon?
I say yes.
Yes. And Carrot Top, the answer is?
Oh, fuck yeah. Totally.
Oh, God damn it. I've been wrong 2 weeks in a row now. God
all
damn
the,
it.
All the things that I've played in all these theaters we've played over the years, all these weird town stalkers, definitely.
God damn it. I decided to go against the grain. What are you going to do? It fucked me. That's what
you
happened.
You know I was right, Ralph? Because I went to UNLV. UNLV. Go,
it's a shitty,
fight,
it's
win.
A shitty chance, by the way.
That is a real shitty chance.
It's a really shitty chance. It doesn't get anybody excited. It's falling asleep
I'm pumped
halfway
up right
through
now.
That chant. Follow me over at I Am Ralph Sutton. My other podcast, all about health and wellness, the Good Sugar Podcast, comes out every Monday with the founder of Juice Press, and we're trying to journaling my trip to being in good shape. You might find this interesting, Carrot Top. I lost like 55, 60 pounds in the last year.
Wow.
So I'm trying to get back.
Amazing.
I used to be in decent shape, but gained 60 pounds when my dad died about 4 or 5 years ago. Now I've been trying to get back into being not a fatty boom balatty. That's my goal.
Well, that's great. That's awesome. That must make you feel really good.
Yeah. So far it's going well. And then my last question, I just have to know this. It's such a famous clip. I'm curious if you're friends with, or if it ruined a friendship or whatever, when Norm Macdonald did that thing 100 years ago. Do you know him? Do you know the clip I'm talking about? I'm sure.
Chairman of the board?
Yeah, and the box office poison, chairman of the board. Two really funny lines. As you are a comic, it's just comedy. Did it bother you? Do you know him? I know.
I know Norm. He's a brilliant comic, and so no, it's just another comic making fun of a comic.
It was a great line. It stuck with me.
Oh, the thing is, that when we were making the movie, the joke was we're filming Chairman of the Board. We've already kind of ripped ourselves on that one.
All right, fair enough. All right, dude, thank you so much. It's an honor to have you on.
And tell Norm MacDonald to go fuck himself.
There it is.
And then we end the show every week with a song of the week. Since you're wearing a Stone shirt, you want to pick a Stone song, or is there something else you want us to play?
Yeah, let's play some Stone.
Anything in particular?
Oh, you know, it's funny. We were playing it. This is weird. Last night I was playing it. Just so many. I was thinking just one. It didn't even have to be a classic. It could be something off Steel Wheels, maybe. It was kind of one of the Bridges of Battle. Or we could just do a classic. Just do... Start me up.
All right, well, you went from a deep cut to the very obvious.
I went from deep cut to Sparks Will Fly to...
let's do something no one's ever heard of. How about Satisfaction?
Yeah. All right.
All right, we'll see you next week.
What ends with you make a dead man come? How about that one?
Okay, there we go. There we go. Much better. All right, we'll see
make
you next week.
Make a dead man come.
There you go. That's pretty good. All right. Shannon, you missed his Mick Jagger.
I was writing.
Yeah, you're writing.
I do it on my Instagram a lot. I put the whole get up on and shit.
All right. See you next week on the SDR show. Peace.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, dude. That was fun.
Yeah. Thank you, guys. That was fun. Yeah.
Dope.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're funny.
Oh, thanks, man. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
We'll see you around, man. Thanks for doing all the shit for Vegas, man.
I'm going to look up some of your stuff, too. That sounds fun, then.
Please, brother, that'd be awesome. Look up is a good microphone for James, if you don't mind.
That's the microphone I use all the time. Was it that bad this week?
I don't know what it is. It sounds weird this week. What are you going to tell you?
It's the same motherfucker
it's
I always use.
It's the joys of Zoom, sir. You never know what's going to happen.
Shit, man.
My voice sounds luxurious. Shannon's voice sounds great.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm a son of a bitch.
All right. Thank you, sir. We'll see you again.
Sir.
Thank you very much.
Have a good day, guys.
Late, bro.
Bye.
Listening to the SDR Show.